Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We do appreciate the members there, the sacrifice that they make, not only for the radio broadcast, but in several areas of ministry, in missions and getting out the gospel through the radio and several other areas that we're involved in. And we thank the Lord for all the opportunities that the Lord has made for us. And I want to take just a moment to invite you, if you do not have a church home and you are in the listening area or are going to be in the listening area. You know, throughout the year we have some that'll come and just be with us. Maybe they're on vacation here in the high country close by, and we have some who'll come and just be with us in a church service. So we do appreciate that. We're located just a few miles outside of Boone on off of Highway 105 South, Baird's Creek Road. 1 mile. 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So we'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. You can look on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and find out service times and information and contact information. But I just want to say good morning to everyone today, and I'm going to say good morning to Noah. He's here in the studio, Noah Greer. And good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say welcome to all our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners, those listening in on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those on KBGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and this is a special week. This is Thanksgiving week. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the subject of Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving myself. It is my favorite holiday. If I had to choose one out of all of them, I would choose Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the oldest American holiday. Thanksgiving is a uniquely biblical holiday. In fact, it is more biblical to celebrate Thanksgiving than it is to even celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. Now, that's coming up, and we know that. You know, this whole holiday season is sort of lumped in together. But, you know, really, if you just look at the Bible and what the Bible says, nowhere in the Bible are we told to celebrate the birthday of Christ. We are told about the birthday. We recognize that. We appreciate that. I'm not being derogatory towards the birth of Christ in any way whatsoever. I hope you understand that, but we don't even know, and I really don't believe that December 25th would be the actual birthday of Christ anyway. So we're not told in the Bible to celebrate the birthday of Christ, but we are, this is the point I'm getting to, we are told many places in the Bible to give thanks unto the Lord. That is proper and right always at all times. A few Wednesday nights ago at church, I read Psalms 100, and I wanted to start out the radio broadcast today reading out of Psalms chapter 100, which is a Thanksgiving psalm. And it says there, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And I read that today. You wouldn't recognize it by me just reading it, but I read that out of, I bought a Bible a while back, a 1611 edition of the King James Bible. And the only difference between a 1611 edition and a King James 1611 that I have in my study, many of them, a King James Bible, is the spelling. And I don't know, I bought this, I've been reading it, I just get a real blessing out of thinking this Bible is over 400 years old, and I can read it. It's the same as the Bible. The only difference is the spellings that are there. For example, in the out of this passage of Scripture, the word sheep has an E on the end of it, and the word we has two E's, W-E-E. And so the word unto is spelled with, it's spelled V-N-T-O instead of U-N-T-O. And so just a little things, a few little things like that. But I brought this today and read Psalms 100, and the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so we read that today in honor of Thanksgiving. And like I say, it's my favorite holiday out of all of them. I love Thanksgiving. I love the 4th of July. I get a blessing out of that, and I enjoy it very much. But I remember growing up in school and being just a little fella, first or second grade, somewhere along in there. And our class, we took black construction paper, and we made cut out pilgrim hats. And I don't remember what the girls did. They took and made something, and we made little pilgrim costumes and sat around, and our teachers told the story of Thanksgiving and how it came about and how the pilgrims came and seeking religious freedom, and how that they had gotten together with the Indians and had the first Thanksgiving celebration. And I'll tell you, if you had an opportunity to see it, I don't know if it comes on TV, but a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving has more historical information in it than most people even know about. That is one of the best shows that's ever been on, as far as I'm concerned. And if you got an opportunity to see that, you ought to. It tells about the pilgrims coming, how many of them they were, meeting the Indians, having a hard time. I mean, it just goes into great detail about the pilgrims coming and the first Thanksgiving. And I think in the past we have went over that here on the Blessings of Liberty, but I want to go a little bit farther along in our history today and talk about some other things in relation to Thanksgiving. For example, I don't know, I didn't even know this, to be honest, but I was studying about this, and I learned that the first official act of Congress after completion of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was to proclaim a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. That's the first thing that our Congress ever did, was to proclaim a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, September the 25th, 1789. I thought that was very interesting. Early on in our nation, Thanksgiving was proclaimed on the state level, not a federal level. By the year 1815, different state governments, they would be the ones that would make days of thanksgiving, days of prayer and fasting. But by the year 1815, now you have to realize our nation is still very young by the year 1815. The Constitution was not even ratified until the year 1789. But by the year 1815, different state governments had issued at least 1,400 official calls for prayer and thanksgiving, or for prayer and fasting. So this was very common among all the states, from the south to the north. Of course, originally there was 13 original states, but up until that time, over 1,400 different proclamations for thanksgiving and prayer. That's a lot of thanksgiving and prayer going on in a nation when they're able to count up 1,400 different official calls for prayer. There were different presidential proclamations For example, George Washington in 1789 and in 1795 called for a national day of Thanksgiving. John Adams in 1799, James Madison in 1814 and 1815. This would have been about the time of the end of the War of 1812. And we might talk about the War of 1812 a little bit more before the end of the year. I hope to be able to do that. But anyway, our nation had a second time of warfare, and they call for a day of prayer and thanksgiving in the year 1814 and 1815. I always like to look in the old Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I found the definition for Thanksgiving over there. It said this. Now, this is Noah Webster, 1828. Look it up in the dictionary. And it said the definition for Thanksgiving, the second definition he gives, he said, a public celebration of divine goodness. Also, a day set apart for divine services, talking about going to church. He said specifically to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England. Now, I wanted to read just a little bit about the first federal Thanksgiving proclamation. And that is what I was talking about just a moment ago when I said that that was the first act of Congress after the completion of the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And a Mr. Elias, and I'll butcher this last name if I try to pronounce it, but I believe it would be Baudinot. I'm not even going to try to spell it, but we'll just call him Mr. Elias. He said he could not think of letting the session pass without offering an opportunity to all the citizens of the United States of joining with one voice in returning to Almighty God their sincere thanks for the blessings he had poured down upon them. With this view, therefore, he would move the following resolution, and it said, resolved that a joint committee of both houses be directed to wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. And so this Mr. Elias here, he made the move that they would have a public day of thanksgiving and prayer. Another gentleman said this, a Mr. Roger Sherman. He justified the practice of thanksgiving on any single event, not only as laudable, as a laudable one in itself, but also as warranted by a number of precedents in Holy Writ. Now, what he was saying, this is, if you can imagine, in 1789, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights has been completed, and the first thing that they want to do is to proclaim a day of thanksgiving and prayer for God's blessings. And Mr. Roger Sherman, sometimes in a business meeting, will say, does anybody have any light upon the subject? You know, somebody else will say something about a matter. And Mr. Roger Sherman, he put in his what he thought about it. And he said not only was it a laudable thing to do, that's a commendable thing for a nation to do, but he said that it was also warranted by a number of precedents in Holy Writ. You know what he was saying right there? He was saying we find many examples in the Bible of thanksgiving and prayer. He said this example, or it said this example he thought worthy of a Christian imitation on the present occasion, meaning that would be the Christian thing to do upon this glorious occasion of completion of the United States Constitution. And so President George Washington, he heartily concurred that this is what should be done. And this is part of the declaration, the first federal act of Congress after the completion of the Constitution. First thing. That's interesting to me. I get a blessing out of that. What did Congress do? first thing? Well, they didn't balance the budget. They didn't pass any laws about how fast a horse can run up down the road. They didn't name any post offices or anything like that. They passed a resolution for a national day of Thanksgiving. And part of it says, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do appoint Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection. Well, so much for separation of church and state. They talked a great deal about Almighty God in the founding and the founding years of our nation. But Thanksgiving, to begin with, did not become an annual federal holiday until President Abraham Lincoln. And he is the first president that made it a federal holiday on an annual basis. You see, in 1789, that was just for that year. And then they had another proclamation in 1795 and 1799, 1814 and 1815. But President Abraham Lincoln is the president that made Thanksgiving an annual observance. Now, President Abraham Lincoln, the circumstances surrounding his proclamation are worth looking into. In fact, Mr. Lincoln himself is a very interesting individual to study about and read about. And I know there's been movies and things, and I believe there's even a movie out right now about, and I've not seen it, and I really don't know anything about it, but I would be surprised if it was, you know, factual in a lot of ways, because, you know, Hollywood tends to take things and mess them up. In fact, I think there was a movie a while back about Abraham Lincoln vampire slayer, and I said, oh no, there'll be a generation that'll grow up now thinking that Abraham Lincoln was a vampire slayer. But anyway, that's fiction, but what I'm talking about is fact. And Mr. Lincoln was a very interesting individual. We probably all know about the great poverty that he grew up in. Like a lot of people in America, when he grew up in a log cabin. And we've heard and read about, I remember learning about when I was a little boy, going to school, reading about Abraham Lincoln and him reading by candlelight. Of course, that's the only light that they had up until that point. But he loved to read. And his textbooks were few and far between. The main thing that he had to read was the Bible, the Word of God. He would have read the same Bible that I read and preach out of every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning, a King James 1611 Bible. And so when you're reading that Bible, you're reading the Bible that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and right on and on and on up through our history, presidents and preachers and people have read. And so he read the Bible, and he loved to read the Bible. And his father had borrowed a copy of Pilgrim's Progress for him to read by John Bunyan. And I would encourage every Christian to read Pilgrim's Progress. It is a great Christian book, and it is a great piece of literature. But anyway, this is what Abraham Lincoln grew up on. Abraham Lincoln's mother was deeply religious. And something else that I learned about his mother, she passed away. I knew that she had died when he was young, but when he was 9 years old, his mother called him and his sister to her bedside and commended them to the Lord. And she passed away October the 5th, 1818, when Abraham Lincoln was only 9 years old. And I'll tell you, that would be hard on any child. And so she passed away. Later on in Abraham Lincoln's life, he said this about his mother. He said, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Blessings on her memory. And so what an impact she made upon him in those short 9 years of his life. And that he said, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. So he deeply loved his mother. She had a great impact upon his life. Sometimes you'll hear about Abraham Lincoln talked about and how that he prayed, and he was deeply religious all of his life, but by his own testimony, he was not a Christian until much later in life. In fact, just a few years before he was assassinated, Mr. Lincoln became a true Christian. And you know, there's a difference between being religious and being a true Christian, a born-again child of God. But he was later on in his life when he testified of becoming a Christian. He had written a letter to a preacher in Illinois, his home state, and it was after the Battle of Gettysburg. Mr. Lincoln had gone to the battlefield there, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He had toured the grounds where the battle had taken place, and over 60,000 soldiers had died in one battle. That is just that's just hard to comprehend, how much loss of life in one battle. And during the Civil War, there was just a great loss of life paid by the whole United States of America, both the Northern Army and the Southern Army. But 60,000 soldiers died at the Battle of Gettysburg. And so Mr. Lincoln writes this letter to a pastor, a preacher in Illinois, and he said, when I left Springfield, he's talking about when he left Springfield, Illinois, to become the president. He said, when I left Springfield, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. And so he says, after he viewed Gettysburg is when he truly became a Christian. And it was after that, just a few months after that, during some of the darkest days of the Civil War, that President Lincoln instituted an annual Thanksgiving Day. And as I thought about this, I thought how interesting that is. If you put all that in its proper historical context, the annual time of Thanksgiving was instituted during a time when our nation was more divided than it's ever been at any time. The nation was divided. It was in the middle of a civil war. The nation was torn apart by the Civil War. There was a great loss of life. There was a great loss of property. Yet, it was during the year of 1863 that President Lincoln proclaimed this annual day of Thanksgiving. Just a part of his presidential proclamation, he said this: the year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. And you know, I thought about that as I read that if they could give thanks under their circumstances, the nation torn apart, thousands and thousands of people are dead, thousands of widows, thousands of children who will grow up without a father, homes destroyed, cities burned, much destruction and loss of life, and crippled people. You know, during the Civil War, what they did many times after a battle, they amputated. And if you know anything about that time period, there were just thousands of men who had their arms and legs sawn off in a field hospital. You talk about a raw time emotionally for a nation. And, you know, if they could give thanks in the midst of all of that, then how much more we ought to give thanks as people today, and what a heritage we have of our nation giving thanks in times of great trouble. And I just thought that was so interesting, that the historical context of the annual federal holiday of Thanksgiving being instituted was in such a dark, dark time of our nation's history, and yet they stopped to give thanks. It goes on in Mr. Lincoln's proclamation, and he said, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." I think that is so good that he refers to that, and he's referring to the Civil War and all the loss of life, and he said God's dealt with us after our sins. You know, there's people today, they scoff when we say, you know, a lot of this stuff that's happening, it's the hand of God. It's us paying for our sins. Well, Mr. Lincoln and both people in the North and the South, they recognized that our nation was paying for their sins. And he said, God, who is dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. And so he instituted the Day of Thanksgiving, that it would be celebrated every November on the fourth Thursday in November. It goes on, he says, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that God's gift should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." And so we appreciate today, Mr. Lincoln, the proclamation of Thanksgiving. It is fit. It is proper. It is a part of our heritage as a nation. We refer to our Judeo-Christian heritage as a nation. And what a blessing that is. That was November of 1863, in some of the darkest days of the Civil War. Now, and that's the same year that Mr. Lincoln claimed to become a Christian. The last public speech of Abraham Lincoln was April the 11th, 1865. And his last speech was concerning the end of the Civil War. It had officially ended, and he said about that April 11th, 1865, in part of that speech, he said, "He from whom all blessings flow must not be forgotten. A call for a national thanksgiving is being prepared and will be duly promulgated." And so, 3 days later, Mr. Lincoln was assassinated. His last public speech, he called for a day of thanksgiving to give thanks for the end of the Civil War. Well, I appreciate you listening in. I hope you do, and have a great Thanksgiving, and remember what it's all about, our Father in heaven, His blessings upon us. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.